Matter of fact, we're going to go to John 15, 16 a little bit. But, you know, too many try to get Abraham's blessing with Thomas' sense. Everybody knows who Doubting Thomas is. With Thomas' sense kind of faith. You know, they can't see it, so they won't believe it. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit of, you know, we covered a little bit of this last week. It says, they believe only what they can hear or feel from the natural standpoint. Their faith is based on their feelings. If they feel they have something, then they believe they have it. I'm talking about receiving something. They feel like they've got it. But if they don't feel like they have it, they don't believe they have it. You see what I'm saying? Just like the property behind here, the 3 acres of land. Your faith will be in action when you see the building. It's not a building there yet. But you see the building. That's Abraham's faith. Thomas' faith is, well, I'm going to believe it when I see it. You see what I'm saying? You know, and you know, with some people, they feel like they're saved. You know, feeling is an emotion. Then they feel like they're saved, then they believe it. No, it don't work that way. You got to believe it that you're saved before you feel it. You see what I'm saying? You got to understand. You know, you can tell when somebody's born again. What do you mean by that? Well, by the way they talk, for one thing. By the way they act. It's a glow on people that you know who are born again and going to heaven. Because you know where your final reward's going to be. It's in heaven. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in all that. Well, I can tell you, hell is real, heaven's real. And I'm going to believe heaven is real. Because why? Because it's in God's word. So that's what I'm believing. Have I seen heaven? No. But I'm believing it in faith. I'm not going to wait. Well, it won't wait. You can't wait and see heaven. You see what I'm saying? You got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you got to let him come into your life and be the King of Kings in your life. Then you'll see heaven. You're not going to see it without him. You know, and I've heard some say that I feel like God heard me when you pray. You know, oh, I feel good. Wow. You'll get the song after a while. But it's not a feeling thing. No, you know, when you pray the word and believe the word, then you have the feeling. You see what I'm saying? You don't have the feeling before you have the answered prayer. Because not necessarily God's hearing your feeling prayer. He's hearing you pray God's word and believing. He says, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Guess what? You believe it. Don't talk about what you feel. Talk about what you believe. There's a difference there. Matter of fact, let's turn to John 15, 16 now. And it says, just to end the last part of, I guess, you know, in that verse, John 15, 16, it says, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Right? The last part of that. We got to believe that. Whatever we shall ask, that's prayer, right? When you speak to God, that's prayer. Somebody says, I can't pray all day. Well, just talk to God. That's still prayer. Talk to God. I mean, I talk to him all day. I say, God, what do you want me to do next? I mean, I'm ready to move on to the next level. I'm ready to do this. God, well, you know, take care. I need you to take care of this issue that's going on. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And according to your word, then I believe the word, and then I know that God's going to take care of it. Because he said right here that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And I'm expecting it. Everything I prayed for, according to his word, I am expecting him to fulfill what he said. Have I got it all yet? No. But I've got a lot. I've got a lot from believing and praying the word of God over a situation instead of me, oh, Lord, please, you've got to take care of this situation. That ain't what it's all about. If you believe it, thank you, Lord, for taking care of it. You taking care of it now in the spiritual realm. Work it out so I can see it in the physical realm. You see what I'm saying? We need to be bold when we pray, not to sit there and cry. I've seen too many people that start praying for things and start crying and boo-hooing. And, no, that ain't faith. You ever heard of a little squirrel or a rabbit or something gets caught in a trap and he starts hollering to scream that he does? All that does is attract the wolf. The wolves, coyotes, and whatever varmints that want to eat that rabbit. So when we believe in prayer, we not shouldn't be there screaming like a little wounded rabbit. We should be doing it because why? We are a child of God. We've got the power within us to speak God's name and believe what? That whatever his word says, we can have. Now, I'm not talking about strike your neighbor down, and I'm not talking about going, God, go hang them people over there because they messed up. No, I'm not talking about that because that ain't in God's word. God's word is love. But you pray and ask God. You know, and I've heard a lot of times that when people say, oh, I feel so much better after I prayed. Well, naturally, we do. But that doesn't mean God heard our prayer. Why? Because we were praying and we just felt good. No, we need to let the word of God speak. Let it be based on faith. Let it be based on God's word. So when we speak something, if I lay hands on you, I am laying for healing or whatever it is. I am laying my hands on you and believing what God's word says that you're going to receive it. Once I give you the prayer, give you the anointing, once I lay hands on you, and then it's up to you. It's like a quarterback and a wide receiver. Quarterback's going to get you the ball. It's up to the wide receiver to catch it and run on in for the touchdown. You see what I'm saying? It's up to the individuals ourselves. When we get prayed on, whatever's going on in our life, whatever's going on in our body, whatever it is, we got to believe it. Stand firm. I may not feel like it. Several years ago, I picked up on a big old TV set, thinking I was 20 years old again. Picked it up, and boy, I tell you what, I heard it pop in my back. And there was pain. But guess what? I took those gospels that we have out front, and I was praying those, and I was believing for those. And I tell you, it was kind of rough the first couple of few days. But guess what? I didn't give up. I didn't fall. I didn't limp. I didn't limp to my pain. I gave in to the word of God, and the word of God took it away. And it was gone. And I woke up one morning, and it was gone. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I could have said, okay, God, I need this done by this afternoon. No. Get in God's word. Let God's word work on you. Because, I mean, I couldn't blame God because of that. Which we should never blame God anyway, but you know, most time when something happens, we start blaming God. God, you did this. God, why'd you let that happen? God, why'd you? I picked up the TV. God didn't pick it up. The Holy Spirit was probably saying, don't pick it up. But guess what? I think all humans have some type of hard-headedness. It's just a little. Some may have more than others. I know I got a lot. God's taken a lot away, and I see all that going on. Hallelujah. But you know, we got to understand man's nature. Now, I'm not saying man. I'm talking about man and female, woman and man. You know, I'm talking about the human being, that man's nature is twofold. You know, there's an inward man, and there's an outward man. You see the outward man. And I hope that you can see my inward man by showing the love of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? The inward man is the real me. And I've said this over and over before. This is the outward man that you see. It's the part that's holding all of this in. All the inside in. Because like we said Thursday, if I wasn't an outward man, you wouldn't like it. It would just be a bunch of glob everywhere. You see what I'm saying? But we have to understand the outward man is the body. To believe from the heart is the inward man. We have to believe the inward man is what's going to talk to God, the Spirit of God. And we need to understand, our flesh doesn't want to do nothing. It didn't even want to get here this morning. It didn't even want to wake up this morning. Especially Saturday and a Sunday up early in the morning and off to the church. The flesh does not want that. So we have to understand that to base one's faith on spiritual, or should I say physical evidence, is to believe only by the natural man. But the inward man is to believe the Word of God. There's a battle going on. You see what I'm saying? There's no swords involved in this battle that you have going on in your body. The inward man and the outward man, they're at battle with each other. Why? Because your inward man is saying, it's okay. Your outward man is saying, oh, no, no, no. That hurts. My leg hurts. Oh, man, you just don't know what I'm going through. But your inward man says, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Amen. And I will supply all your needs. But the flesh is saying, show it to me. Got the Thomas faith. You see what I'm saying? Your inward man should have the Abraham faith, believing on God. Real faith in God is heartfelt. It's heart faith. And it believes the Word of God regardless of what you feel like on the outside. You are a two-faced person. What do you mean by that? Well, you have an inward man and you have an outward man. So really, you could be called a two-faced. Oh, yeah, if somebody called me a two-faced, you're right. You hit the nail on the head. Yep, I got an inward man and an outward man. I got two faces. But this one right here, you see what I'm saying? That we have to understand that real faith in God is heart faith. We need to believe the Word of God regardless of what the physical evidence may be. No matter what we're going through, guess what? We're making it. We're going to make it through. And, you know, it's believing with the inward man that causes faith to be manifested. You have to believe what the inward man is saying. It's to be manifested over the outward man. Then you have when you can conquer that outward man, guess what? You'll have the glow on you because the inside. You ever took a flashlight and held it up on something and you shine it, you know, a piece of paper or something, you shine it and you can see the light going through that paper? Right where that flashlight is at. That's the same thing. It should be glowing on the inside of you. Why? Because you've got a lot more word than the physical evidence of the situation that's going on in your life. You know, the trouble with a lot of people is that they want the manifestation on the outside before they believe it on the inside. It don't work that way. You got to get it here first so that the outward man will have to bow to the inward man. You see what I'm saying? It just doesn't work that way because the physical body is trying to tell you, in the solic realm, tell you that, you sick. You're going to die. The inward man is trying to say, oh, no. According to God's word, you are healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So who are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? The outward man? The one over here that's got pain and things going on, or are you going to believe the inward man, the Spirit of God? Because God doesn't want his children sick. God does not want his children to walk in lack, right? God wants his people to be prosperous in all things, in health, and in reconciliation. With your finances, he wants you to live a life abundantly. But we can't do it if we're listening and seeing all we're seeing. Oh, man, I guess I'll just drive that 1960 car till the tires fall off of it. And 60 car, I better go back and make it 80-something because everybody wants a 60 car. But say a 1980 or 19 car, I guess I'll have to drive in this thing here because you know how it is. Because, you know, the church don't like prosperity and they don't like this. Well, the church may not like it, but I can tell you one thing. God wants to prosper his children. He wants to see them live above the standard of poor, poor, pitiful me people. You see what I'm saying? God is wanting to prosper his people. Why is that? Because that is a witness to the rest of the world. They're believing in God. They're in church. They're doing this. They're tithing. They're doing whatever it is according to God's word. And guess what? They will prosper. And God can put you on a pedestal and say, this is my child. Look at him. Now, can you imagine if he was over here, his all hair was all messed up and his pants were all tore. Now, this is my child. What the people going to say? No, I don't want none of that. But I tell you one thing, God wants to prosper his people. And he wants to start today in your life. He wants to turn a situation around that's going on. It might have been going on a long time. But he said, today is the day. Today you're going to be broken free from whatever it is been holding you back to climb that ladder to where I want you to be. And it's things that are holding you back. It could be all kind of things like unforgiveness. It could be different things that are going on in your life. You may have been dropped on your head when you were a child. You see what I'm saying? But I can tell you that being dropped on your head, God's going to turn that around too. He's going to give you everything that you need. And you know, it's just like a person seeking healing should look to God's word, not the symptoms. I don't know about you, but the other day I got up. She wanted me to walk, and I walked around the subdivision twice. And, you know, and then I got in, and then I was just sitting there eating my ice cream, and I could tell that, you know, something wasn't right. You know, if you ever done that, something just dripping back there. I said, oh, no, it can't happen to me. That can't happen. That's got to go. I got up the next morning, and it was still there. I could have easily right there and said, oh, see, look at it, God's word ain't true. I could have said that right off the bat. Oh, it don't work. But guess what? I didn't give up. I went right back to his word. God, it says right here in this scripture right here that you're going to heal me of my, yeah, whatever. You're going to heal me of my. I just leave a blank, whatever it is. I just fill it in whenever it comes along. But you see what I'm saying? It can't stay on me. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but if you had say my jacket right here and somebody doused it with some lighter fluid or whatever and set it on fire, you think I'm going to stay in it? No, you're going to come out of it. The same thing when you're reading the Word of God. When the Word of God energizes you, you come out of that old you and come into the new you what God has given for you, each and every one of us. We got an old man and a new man. Come out of that old man stuff and put on the new stuff that God has for his people. You know, we got to understand it won't do us any good to say, well, if I don't believe it, it ain't true. No, you go to God's word. God's word, you believe what God's word is, believe, and you receive what it says. Matter of fact, how do you know that? Well, look in Mark 11:23. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he said will be done, and he will have whatever he says. Speak to that mountain. What is it? Well, it could be finances. It could be reconciliation with family. It could be health issues. Speak to that mountain, because I can tell you, I can speak to that mountain for you, but if it's your mountain, and it would make your faith grow so much more when you speak to that mountain, and you tell that mountain to be what? To be removed and cast into the sea, your faith will grow a whole lot stronger, because you have to do that. You have, just like, we exercise, but she does most of it. And I'm just there to hear what she has to say and, you know, walk around the subdivision and I'm there. I'm not into the exercise business or in the exercise part. I mean, I'm enjoying my life I don't stay still. I'm busy. I'm doing things. I'm picking up things. I'm moving. I'm doing all kind of stuff. I'm active in my life. But she likes to walk, so we walk. But she's benefiting a lot out of it. What is it? Well, she gets to walk with me. she's doing something she wants to do. And she's enjoying it. I mean, I could take it or leave it. But it's a time that we walk around together. We walk before it gets too dark, before those lakes, the mosquitoes start coming out of the four lakes we got there. So, because at night you can't see the lights because of the mosquitoes. But what I'm saying is that, you know, it's an enjoyable time together to be able to walk. We try to walk when there's not any, a lot of people on the sidewalks and out on the street. But, you know, if there are, we stop and say hello because we like to keep a pace. You see what I'm saying? We like to keep our pace moving. So if there's people out there, everybody wants to talk. And you know, and I've learned that over here in Bro Bridge. Everybody likes to talk. I mean, they don't know me from nothing. But they'll talk and talk and talk. And I love it. I can sit there and talk with them. But, you know, it's an enjoyable thing. And sometimes we'll sightsee the new houses around there. But you see what I'm saying? It's a time that we can come together. She is doing her exercise. She is seeing things that, and getting things done that she wants. And I probably am, too, by exercising. But I tear it up when I get home. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. But one of the biggest sayings I know that Smith Wigglesworth, his biggest statement I love, he says, I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I feel. I am not moved by what I believe. This is the way Abraham was. Think about that. Thomas, on the other hand, unless I see it and I feel it, I am not going to believe it. And you know how your faith is, how are you going to stretch yourself? How are you going to move into the next level where God wants you? If you can't see where God is taking you. And it's just like, I love what Reverend Tony said the other day. He said, I don't know where God's calling me. He said, well, find somebody that knows the right road and get with them. They know where to go, so follow them for a while until God tells you. But don't stay there and just wait, because before you know it, the taillights are going to be gone. So find somebody to get hooked up with to know what's going on. They know what's going on, so they're going in the right direction. So follow them, get hooked up until God tells you where to get off and where to go. Hallelujah. You know, there's too many people that give the Word of God second place in their lives. And they give their body, the home of the physical senses, first place. I've heard that a lot of times. Well, I ain't got no money. I can't got no money to tithe. Well, that's between you and God. Don't come up here and don't tell me that you can't tithe. All I'm going to do is say, what does the Word say? The Word of God says to tithe. But that's between you and God, and you'll have to answer for that. I don't see your money. Your money goes in a bag, and it goes, and the secretary counts it. You see what I'm saying? So we have to understand that we cannot walk by faith and do that if we're only looking at our physical senses. I've done it plenty of times and saying, well, I just didn't feel good. I don't think I'm going to go today. Oh, I'm too big. I got something else to go do today. I ain't going to go do that. All God asks is 1 hour on a Sunday to worship Him. Can you imagine God's heart when we don't worship God for that 1 hour? 1 hour is all He's asking on a Sunday to worship Him. And His heart would have to be broken, because it'd be about like having a family reunion and you invite all your family and nobody showed up. Or say a handful showed up of your family. That would hurt, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd be disappointed if your family, and some of them, you know, I'm glad so-and-so didn't show up. No, but you see what I'm saying. It's time that we get our families back together. It's time that families rejoin as a family unit again, because it's no better thing that Satan loves is to tear the family up. The Satan has, that is his, between that and a marriage, that is the first thing that Satan wants to do. Once he can start splitting that up, it's all downhill for him from then on. You know, and like I said, and all we can do is, and like our children, some of you got young children, some of you got older children, some of you got grandchildren, right? you see what I'm saying? That family right there is important to God. Well, you just don't know what my family, they running and ripping and running. Well, pray for them. Pray the word of God over them. And you know, you'll have to get, I mean, you start praying the word of God, and I can guarantee you, we have seen it on Tuesdays. We've been praying. If you're starting to say, well, y'all must be praying for me. Well, you're right. We pray for everybody that says they're a member of Hope Chapel Church. You are being prayed for. And I can tell you one thing, we have seen a turnaround. What do you mean a turnaround? In the things we've prayed for. And we don't take prayer lightly. We pray. Matter of fact, look in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:7. And what does it say? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is a physical sense. Adequate ministering, pastoring, long time ago, if I was walking by sight. I'm being honest with you. If I walked by sight, it probably wouldn't be a minister in town. And it ain't lying, because the things that you see as a minister would hurt. Hurt you so bad, and you said, that doesn't line up with God's word. What are they doing? But I can say, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Because sight is one of our physical senses. Look in 1 Corinthians 9:27. 1 Corinthians 9:27. This is what I have to do for myself. But I discipline my body. No matter what's going on around me, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I have to not do things that I used to do. Why is that? Because if I'm going to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same as each and every one of you, you are a representative. Are you representing Jesus to the best of your ability? You see what I'm saying? We have to bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. We have to do that. I have to keep myself disciplined. I have to discipline my body. And I have to bring it into subjection. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, my family had standards. They had moral whatever. And guess what? I had to go by what they said. The same thing. I have standards, God's standards now in my life. And I have moral standards. And I have to live by what he said. Sure, there's times that, you know, I say, man, gosh, this is really tough. Well, yeah, because my flesh, my outward man is wanting to do something else instead of what God has called me to do. So we have to understand that. I have to discipline my body. I guess you would say I is the inward man. I discipline the inward man, like Paul, the real Paul. And the inward man was born of God. Didn't it say we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, of God? So we have to maintain our inward man to be clean and ready to present God into our home, into our home here. You know, our body is not, I guess you would say, it's not the real me. This is not the real me. The real me lives on the inside. You know, and we have to understand, we have to continuously bringing our bodies into, or should I say, ourselves into subjection. And it says, our bodies can dominate us in more ways than we think. You think about it. I mean, our bodies wouldn't have got here this morning. It would probably be nobody here. I say nobody, but it'd be maybe a few. And the ones that are not here, they probably, their bodies overrode their inward man. A lot of times that happens. But you know, we have to understand that people are people. People go through things. So we need to not knock them down when they're going through something. We need to lift them up. We need to pray for those people, to give them a hand. Come on, we got a race to run. Let's go. The finish line is right up there. Let's don't stop where we are and just stay in the mud, in the mully grub and everything else. No, let's go. That's the way a church, a loving church, would do for somebody. Instead of saying, well, you mean, you're supposed to have faith. And you're sick. What are you doing? You don't have no faith. You need to believe in God. Well, God can do this. God can do that. Well, they might not have the faith you got. So don't compare apples to oranges. Don't compare your faith to their faith. Don't compare. I mean, they may be down. Come on. Let's come on. We're going to pray together. Let's get this thing over with. Come on. Let's move forward into things that God has for us. You know, we need to don't put our feelings first. Feelings is of the devil. It's an emotion. It's good. I mean, people have feelings. You don't get me wrong. But we can't let our feelings take over what we believe God's in God's word. You know, we have to understand that many put their feelings first, their faith and their feelings, I guess you would say, in their feelings second, and the word, I guess you say the word of God would be second in their life. Let me say that again. They put their feelings first, then faith in their feelings, I guess you would say, move the Bible into second place. They'll wait till they feel better before they'll start saying anything about the word. We need to take the word first, and then we go by the feelings. Because once you put God's word first, you're going to feel good. You see what I'm saying? We need to understand that feeling is the voice of the body. Reasoning is the voice of your mind. Excuses. How many excuses have you heard in your lifetime? I could write a book on excuses. But conscience is the voice of the Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit before you listen to your feelings that are what's going on in your life. Just say, oh, poor, pitiful you. Because it ain't me. It ain't going to be no poor, pitiful me. You see what I'm saying? Why is that? Because I'm a child of an almighty God. You're a child of an almighty God. So it ain't no poor you. Poor old me. No, I'm being renewed day by day. By according to his word. You have to speak his word. Sure, I mean, sometimes I get up in the morning and I feel my age. Yeah. Anybody here doesn't? No. After a football game, I imagine you feel a little older than you are. Especially if you've been playing on the line. But I can tell you one thing. I don't live by the flesh. I don't live by what I see. I live by what the Spirit of God says in his word. I don't walk by sight. I walk, right? Ain't that what his word says? We don't walk by sight. We don't see those things that look bad and all that. We got to see in the spiritual realm the things that God has for us, because it's a whole lot greater than what the things are of what people are trying to tell us. You know, I mean, I can tell you right now, there's dark times right now in our country. You know, I mean, it's dark. But I can tell you one thing, where darkness comes, the glory of God can rise above all of that. So no matter what you see on the news, it's dark, it's going this, they doing this, they fussing, they fighting, they doing this, oh, we're the best, you're the best, oh, no, you're the worst, they can squabble all they want. But I can tell you one thing, I serve an almighty God. Amen. And I can tell you, the church has the time now for the church to rise is no better time. Why is that? Because darkness is everywhere. And it's time now for the light of Jesus to shine right through all of that darkness. Because why? We're going to see the church triumph. We're going to see the church. Who is the church? You're the church. It ain't this building. It's you. Each and every one of you that are in this building and wherever they have other churches in town or whatever. That's the church. It's time now that the church can come together and rise above all the darkness that's going on in this world. You know, I'm I'm for everything that the Word says. And I'm going to stand on God's Word, and I know He is going to take care of His children. Why is that? Because He says, our redemption draweth nigh. Look up, right? Wow. We got to look up for the things of God, because we don't look at the situation. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by the things we see. We walk. Why is that? Because we got the Abraham kind of faith, and we don't have the Thomas kind of faith. I don't see it. I don't believe all this. Just get out of me. Get out of my sight. Get over here. Stand over here, because you're not going to mess me up from seeing what God has for me. I am not going to fall into that trap. You can hang around with some of those people, and before you know it, you over there talking bad about the government. You talking bad about this. I tell you what, all we can do is pray for them. And we can see right now, as the times are tough, it's time now for the church to rise above the whole situation. And we can do that. But we have to pray. We have to get into God's Word. We have to believe what God's Word says that we can have. And when we do that, we'll see it in the physical. But we'll have to have that Abraham kind of faith. We can't have Thomas kind of faith. And don't wait to see it. Believe it, that you're going to receive it. Hallelujah.